Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. The last time we were together with David in the book of 2 Samuel, we spoke together of his adultery with Bathsheba, and we talked about how he had her husband Uriah killed. We read together the story of how God sent the prophet Nathan to David and told David a story about a rich man who had many flocks, many sheep, and there was a poor man who just had one lamb that he was nurturing as if it were his own daughter. And the rich man had a visitor, and instead of killing one of his own sheep to provide a meal for his visitor, he took the one lamb of the poor person and he killed it and used it to serve his friend. And David, when he heard this story from Nathan, was indignant. He just felt that was terrible that anyone would do that to someone else. And he proclaimed that that rich man deserved death for what he had done. And Nathan turned to David and he said, "David, you are the man." And David recognized what God was saying to him through the prophet Nathan, for what he had done with Bathsheba and what he had done to Uriah, her husband. And when Nathan said, "You are the man," David said, "I have sinned." He confessed his sin before God. And Nathan went on to say to David, "David, because you have confessed your sin, God forgives you, and you will not die." The implication being, you, David, deserve death for what you have done, but God has forgiven you. You will not die, but there are consequences for what you have done. And Nathan spells out some of those consequences, all of which come to pass. "Your child will die," Nathan says to David, and that happened. "Your wives will be shamed in public," Nathan said to David, and that has happened as well. "Your own family will turn against you," David, and that has happened as well. As we pick up the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 16 today, we learn that his own son Absalom has fomented a rebellion in the land, and he has gathered such a large group of people and followers, including military personnel around him, and has marched on Jerusalem, the capital, that his father David has been forced to flee the city. And Absalom has now taken over the throne and declared himself to be king. And David is on the run, having left the city, taking those with him who are still loyal to him. This is one of the lowest moments, perhaps the lowest moment in the life of David. It's hard to imagine that David had a harder time or a worse time in his life up until now. As he is fleeing for his life, as he's leaving the palace behind, the throne behind, everything that it means to be king, he is on the run because his own son wants to kill him. And it is while he is in this extremely low place, in this terrible situation, that a man named Shimei comes seemingly out of nowhere to add to his misery. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being in a really low place, of being in a really hard time in your life, where things are happening Either, as with David, as a consequence of some of the things that you have done wrong, some of the steps that you have taken that now are coming back to haunt you, or perhaps what other people have done, or just what's going on in the world. But you're feeling really down. You are really low. Things are very, very difficult. Perhaps you're looking at the future and you see nothing good. You are on the run, so to speak. And in the midst of being in this terrible place, someone or something comes along and just makes it worse. Something happens and it's like you feel like that you can't get any lower, and then you are. It is a terrible place to be, and it is a terrible thing to have happen to you when it happens. And the question for us this morning is this: how do you and I respond in situations like that? What do we do when that happens to us? We're going to look together at 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to learn together what David does when this happens to him. This passage you'll find in your bulletin if you want to follow along. For those of you at home, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 13, if you have a Bible and want to follow as I read. As King David came to Bahurim, a man came out of the village cursing them. It was Shimei, son of Gera, from the same clan as Saul's family. He threw stones at the king and the king's officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him. "Get out of here, you murderer, you scoundrel," he shouted at David. "The Lord is paying you back for all the bloodshed in Saul's clan. You stole his throne, and now the Lord has given it to your son Absalom. At last, you will taste some of your own medicine, for you are a murderer." "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king?" Abishai, son of Zeruiah, demanded. "Let me go over and cut off his head." "No," the king said. "Who asked your opinion, you sons of Zeruiah? If the Lord has told him to curse me, who are you to stop him?" Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "My own son is trying to kill me. Doesn't this relative of Saul have even more reason to do so? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to do it. And perhaps the Lord will see that I am being wronged and will bless me because of these curses today." So David and his men continued down the road, and Shimei kept pace with them on a nearby hillside, cursing and throwing stones and dirt at David. Shimei, the kind of person who comes along and kicks you when you're down, hurling not only stones and dirt at David and his entourage, but hurling accusations at David in public in front of all these people who are supposedly there to support him and be with him and care for him as he is fleeing for his life. Right there in public, he's being accused of being a murderer, a scoundrel, and getting everything he deserves. What do you want to do in a situation like that? Well, Abishai speaks up. I think he says what many people would say and would feel. "Hey, you! I'm going to take care of you. David, oh please, David, let me just cut off his head. Let me take care of this. Let me stop this. Let me go get him. And let me teach him a lesson for what he is doing to you, David. I wish someone would teach that person, that situation, a lesson for what they're doing to me." Isn't that a pretty common response that most of us have in these kind of situations. When people are being offensive, when people are coming at us, when people are saying things about us, and we're not going to take the time to analyze everything that Shammai says. Suffice it to say, actually, what he's saying is not true. So not only are there accusations against David, but they're untrue accusations. David could speak up and say, hold on a minute, I didn't do the things you're saying. But David doesn't. What does David do instead? David remains calm. David remains controlled. And essentially, David says, no. He says, the Lord is in this. God is a part of what is happening in my life right now, including what this guy, Shammai, is doing to me in front of my friends, in front of members of my family, in front of the military who still supports me, that part of the military that's still supporting him. God is in this. Now, by that, David does not mean, again, that what Shammai is saying is true, but he sees that God is seeking to teach him something. To teach him something very important about what it means to be a person who seeks to have God's heart guide him and instruct him how to live his life. In short, David sees that God is in this teaching him about forgiveness. There are going to be lots of people in my life, David is saying, people like Shammai, people who feel that I have done things or said things to offend them that they don't like, and they are going to come at me. And what God is teaching me in this is the importance of forgiveness. So yes, he is offending against me, and he's doing it in an incredibly offensive way. But I will not retaliate. I will not seek revenge. I will not have his head cut off in order to shut him up. I will go on my way. Because I know that while I may not be guilty of the things that he is saying about me, he never killed anyone in Saul's family. God had not given his throne to Absalom. This was not happening because he, David, had usurped the throne from Saul. All of that is false. Samuel 1 and 2 has shown all of that to be incredibly wrong. But David is saying, my role here, my task here as a person who's a follower of my heavenly Father is not to seek revenge, not to retaliate, but to be a person who forgives, which basically means to forgive is not to return offense for offense. And that is hard to do. We hear that voice in our head in situations like this and say, hey, you don't have to take that. You should stand up for yourself. You're a better person than they're making you out to be. You should be the one to set the record straight. And David is learning about forgiveness. And why does he need to learn about forgiveness? Why does he need to learn about how to deal with people who offend against you? Is precisely because he himself has been forgiven by God of terrible offenses that he has committed against God as well as against others like Bathsheba and Uriah. Oh, I may not be guilty exactly of the sins that Shammai is cursing me for, but I am guilty. I may not have to agree with what he's saying about me, but I need to agree with a God who has forgiven me that I in turn need to forgive others. David is saying, God has humbled me. God has allowed me to experience these consequences because I need to learn something very important about his relationship with me. I think he understands better in this moment in his life as Shimei is hurling down curses and sticks and stones and dirt on him. He understands better perhaps than any other time what it is like for God to forgive us. For why should God have to forgive us for all of our offenses against him? For all the times that we hurl accusations against God. Oh God, you're not fair. Oh God, you're not loving. Oh God, you're not righteous. Oh God, we blame him for things. We accuse him of things. And we take the law that he has given us, the very specific commandments, and we break them like David broke them. And then we experience a God who does not retaliate, who does not take revenge upon us, who does not let me go cut off his head. When we do those things against him, we experience a God who forgives us. So how was David able to do this? How was David able to take this particular course in response to Shimei? I would suggest two things about David in this situation. First, David had to have a thick skin. And secondly, he had to have a godly heart. First, a thick skin. You know, we as followers of Jesus Christ, as people of God, many of us need to develop a thicker skin than what we have. Think of the need to have kind of like an elephant skin or rhinoceros skin. So when those little pinpricks in life come our way, they're not pricking into sensitive skin, delicate skin, oh, bruise so easily skin. We need to have thick skin as followers of God. And the reason that we need to do that is because the Shimeis are all around us in this world. We are constantly going to have people in our lives, especially if they know about us, especially if they know about our profession of faith, who are going to try to prick us, trying to get a rise out of us. They're going to come at us with all kind of accusations and all kind of things in order to get us to behave in certain ways and to treat them exactly as they're treating us. And they love it when we treat them like they treat us. Oh, you Christians, you follow Jesus. And what does he tell you to do when someone slaps you on the cheek? He tells you to turn the other cheek. But what do? You slap back even harder than I slapped you. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. I've always known that about you Christians, and I just proved it. Pinprick, pinprick, pinprick. And overly sensitive Christians, delicately skinned Christians, Christians who think that God needs to have us defend him, we come out fighting. Oh yeah, put up your dukes. God says, forgive. We got to have some thick skin to do that. And we need to let God thicken that skin for us and to recognize that the pinpricks of the world, the accusations of the world, many of which are false, many of which are manufactured and stated in clever ways, but have no foundation in truth, are simply meant to draw a response from us, a sinful response, in retaliation for their sinful offense against us, and it is sinful. I'm not at all excusing what they're doing. I'm just saying we are not to treat them as they've been treating us. In order to do so, we need to have some thick skin. We need to ignore it. We need to do what David did. Just walk on. I'm just going to ignore you. You can't hurt me. I belong to my Heavenly Father. You can't do a thing against me unless I'm thin-skinned enough, delicately skinned enough to allow you to get a rise out of me. And then you will have won, and I will have lost in my witness for Jesus Christ. I think David was developing a thick skin, much because of what had happened in his life. But he recognized that's how he would have to deal with people like Shimei. The other thing David had was a godly heart. He forgave because he knew that God had forgiven him. It is the heart of God to forgive us. And David said, if I'm going to be a person after God's own heart, I need to learn to forgive as well. And to forgive for us is not just simply because God wants us to and wants us to have a heart like His, but it's also the consequence of not forgiving. And this is critical. When we choose not to forgive when we've been offended, when we go forward without forgiving, things are going to start building up within us. We're going to start feeling resentment towards that person or towards that situation that has offended us. And that resentment is going to fester and eventually become anger. That anger will begin to snowball and will begin to increase, and we take some kind of an action out of that anger, some kind of revenge, some kind of a response. And all of those kind of unforgiving consequences of resentment and anger and revenge are all fertile ground for sin, for our sin. When we don't forgive, we will simply end up sinning in response to the sin that has been committed against us. It is a godly heart, it is a forgiving heart that says, I won't go there. This isn't just primarily for your sake. I'm not going to have your head cut off. I hope you're happy about that, Shimei. No, this is for my sake. Because I want to live a life that is consistent what my Heavenly Father has called me to, and I can't do that if I refuse to forgive. A godly heart and thick skin. David had it. Jesus had it. Think about how Jesus responded. For example, he was put on trial in front of the Sanhedrin, the court of the Jews there in Jerusalem, and he had accusers, we're told in Scripture, we read the stories in the Gospels, he had accusers who were hurling accusations against him that actually were not true, saying things about him and quoting him in ways that were not true. He had not said the things that they were saying about him. He had not done the things that they were saying he had done. And yet, what did Jesus do? He kept his mouth shut, Scripture says. He didn't defend himself. He didn't come out in retaliation. He didn't call down angels upon them. He allowed the justice of God to be his justice. See, people who do these things against the people of God, people who do these things against the Son of God, are not going to get off scot-free. There is a judgment, but it is God's judgment. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That means it needs to be His and not ours. That's the point. God isn't just telling us something just so we become aware. He's saying, you are not the ones to take vengeance. I will deal with it. Let me take care of it. So don't ever think that people who offend against God or the people of God are simply going to get away with it. But let God deal with it. And you and I instead walk the same path as David walked, the same path as Jesus walked. For what did Jesus say as he hung on the cross in response to the haters who were yelling at him, jeering at him, making fun at him, saying all kind of things about him? What did he say to his Heavenly Father about them? Forgive them. That's it. Forgive them. That was the conversation he had with the people who were coming down on him. Forgive them. That's the one we follow. If we are Christians, he is the one who sets the pace for how we live our lives. A story like David's is helpful and instructive because a story of a human being who deals with difficult things like we deal with difficult things. But the story of Jesus Christ is exemplary. We need to follow his example. We need to be like him. It's very, very hard to have a godly heart, to have a forgiving spirit, and be thin-skinned. We have to work both sides of that. We need to try not to allow the offenses of people to move us in directions that are just ripe for sin. And so, the God who calls us into relationship with him, the God who deals with our sin by forgiving us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the song that we sang earlier in the service, "Oh, the blood." It is the blood which biblically represents the death of Christ. It is, "Oh, the death of Christ, who died on our behalf, who suffered the death that we deserve." Like David, we deserve to die for our sin. We may not have committed the same sin that David did, but the consequence of sin is always death. Forgiveness is God setting aside death, but it is set aside in Jesus Christ. And he dies on the cross so that we may be forgiven. And it is that forgiveness that our Heavenly Father commands us to extend to one another. Forgive one another, even as in Christ we have been forgiven. So let us, as David did, seek to develop thicker skin. Let us seek to be people whose heart is fashioned after God's own heart. May we be people who are quick to forgive and slow to retaliate. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our ongoing study of the life of David. And he had some very, very difficult times, and yet there were times, Lord, that you redeemed. That is, that you took those times and you brought something good out of it. And in this particular story today, we see how David learned the importance of forgiveness. The importance of forgiveness because it echoes your heart. And the importance of forgiveness because it is the vehicle by which we will not move forward into more sin when we have been sinned against. Father, this is so hard for us. Our pride stands against it. Our self-preservation stands against it. What we call our rights stand against it. And yet Jesus stood for it, and David certainly in this story stands for it. May we stand for it also. If the world is going to look at us Christians and see us to be any different from how they are and how they act and how they respond when they have been offended against, Lord, truly, we have to be Christians who forgive one another and who forgive them, for we ourselves have been forgiven. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness, and by your Holy Spirit, may these truths be true for us as well today. In Jesus' name, amen.